Well, thank you very much, ladies. Appreciate that. Kind of a lot of heavy songs here this morning, and we did it on purpose. But I hate to say it, sometimes we stop taking the things of God seriously. And I want to be encouragement to you on these things. But you know the best way to be encouragement? God's real. I can face tomorrow because God's real. He really is my Lord, my God, my helper, my strength, my high tower. He really is. But take your Bibles, if you will, please. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Now, believe it or not, I finished this series this morning in the early service. So I got to do it for you all, too. And we've spent quite a few messages between now since the first of the year on this. I still believe we do not take the things of God seriously as a nation. And I think as individuals, we may not take it as seriously as we think we do. And we wonder why God is dealing with us the way He is. You know, if you're a Christian, your life ought to be full of joy. And the songs we talked about was all these things going on. Yes, but in spite of that, who can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. He who gave us, who spared not His own Son, how shall He not with us give us all things? Our passage here, we started out the year as our theme is I have set before you, and that's what I have been doing the last several months. I have been setting before you life and death. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. God's got something for you. But the fact is, it is still our choice. To be indifferent is to simply remain under the curses of the world. You've got to choose God if you're going to choose the blessing. You've got to choose God if you're going to choose the joy. And choosing God means hearkening diligently to His voice and doing as He commands. Now, there's some things we're going to talk about today are not the things we think about when we think about doing God's commands. We think about doing God's commands. Well, I don't cheat, don't steal, don't smoke, don't chew, and don't run with the girls who do. In fact, I don't think wine's a mocker, strong drink is a raging, he deceived thereby is not wise. I think it's a stupid thing to do to drink. I just do. Same thing with smoking. But you know what? It doesn't even say anything in the Bible about smoking. Now, I think you should. I think you can see the principles. But it doesn't actually say thou shalt not smoke or thou shalt not vape. It doesn't say anything like that. And yet some things we're talking about today, it does say, and we just go right over it. Well, that's no big deal. Sometimes we have taught the traditions of men for the oracles of God. And God says, I want you to obey me, hearken diligently to my voice. Now, that doesn't mean that those things are bad. Maybe it's good to stay off of this and off of that and all the, there's good, maybe some good wisdom there. But a lot of times we major on the minors and minor on the majors. And then we wonder why we don't have the blessings of God that God has offered us. I'm going to have a word of prayer and then we're going to just start and we're going to go through a little bit of review as part of our introduction here this morning. This morning I want to talk on this topic. I don't think I said this in the early service. It's time to make your choice. It's time to make your choice. So let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you. You didn't leave us helpless. You didn't leave us unknowing. You have it right here. In fact, we're going to get to the passage where it says we don't have to go to heaven and try to find it. We don't have to go look in some place in the wilderness to find it. You've set it right here before us. It's right here in front of us. And why don't we listen to it? And Lord, forgive us. I know that Nehemiah You know, he confessed his sins and the sins of his fathers and the sins of the nation. And Lord, I think we need to do the same. We need to confess our own sins. We need to confess the sins that have been going on for years and years and years and realize that's wrong. And we need to confess the sins of our nation and not just to go along with the nation because our nation has been a wonderful nation. But our nation was a wonderful nation because our nation feared you. You didn't bless us because we were wonderful people. And Lord, I think we're coming to a time where we've seen less and less of the blessing and more of the cursing. Somebody was killed down on Route 30 and 74 this past week at the car wash. Somebody just came through and shot two people. One of them died. Our neighborhood, Lord. Our neighborhood. You lifted your hand of protection. You've lifted your hand of blessing, and it's our fault. It's our fault. Lord, teach us your word here this morning. Do a work in our heart that we might confess and turn back to you. As a person, as people, as a church, and as a nation. And what mercy you show us, Lord, we give you the praise. In Christ's name. Amen. Chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, verse number 2. The Lord says the Lord does not want us to forget to stay in the blessings and avoid the curses. Now, for those who are new with, remember that the curse happened way back at Adam and Eve. He blessed the world. I'm sorry, he cursed the world. He had blessed it, then he cursed us. But he says, I'll supersede those curses if you will follow me, if you'll diligently hearken to my voice, do what I ask you to do. He says, I can help supersede most of these. Well, he can do anything, but he will supersede the cursing and give you the blessing. So if you want to do that, here's how we do it. Chapter 27, verse 2 says, thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster, and thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Verse 8, and thou shalt write upon the stones of all the words of this law very plainly. And Moses and the priests and the Levites spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. They came out of Egypt. Israelites came out of Egypt. They should have gone right into the promised land. They saw all the giants. They said, we can't do this. God says, well, I've already given it to you, but we can't do it. But it's yours. Go in and possess it, but we can't do it. And so they didn't trust God. Just give them the nation. And so God allowed them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years till that generation was gone. And all when that generation was gone, except for Jacob, Joshua and Caleb, he gave him another chance. It's time to go in. And so now this is in Deuteronomy, we give him the second hearing of the law. He says, nothing has changed. Now, the last 40 years, I didn't change my mind, folks. If you want to have a happy life in land of promise, here's how it's going to work. This is just the way it was going to work way back 40 years. And he gives them these things. Now, he says, listen. He says, when you get over the River Jordan and get into the promised land, the very first thing I want you to do is I want you to make an altar out of 12 stones. Don't cut, don't chip into them. Don't try to make them pretty. Don't try to smooth them up. Don't take out the blood. Don't take out all the things that are important. Just leave it like it, just like it is, as raw as it can be. Then I want you to plaster that with plaster. And on that plaster, I want you very plainly, I want you to write all the words of the law. Because I don't want you all to forget this. If this is going to work, we need to have this in the front of us all the time. Then they didn't publish Bibles and send them out. Couldn't. But they were going to put some kind of marker. It says, this is where we stand as a people. It says, and thus you will become the people of the Lord thy God. Watch. The people of God follow the law of God. How can we say we are the people of God if we do not follow the law of God? And how can we expect special treatment as being the people of God if we're not the people of God? Well, how do you become the people of God? Follow the law of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. He said, if you want my blessing, you got to be my people. You got to be my people. You're going to have to do as I ask you to do. You can make all the excuses you want, why this happened, why this person made it hard for you, this made it hard for you, and you have nobody to blame but yourself. Verse 10, thou shalt therefore, watch, obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Now, we think about the law being pretty nitpicky. The fact is, you know what it is? It's nitpicky. God's a holy God. Now, he knows in his mercy. Listen, now, he still deals with us in his mercy. Because if he didn't, we're all dead. There's none righteous, no, not one. Even our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. But we all need to make an effort with our heart and our mind and our soul. We want to do what we can to be doing right. And don't say, well, I did that. He won't know that I'm giving all my heart. Yes, he does. He knows your heart. The heart is deceitful above all, desperately wicked. Who can know it? But the Lord, I try the hearts. He knows exactly who we are. We can't pull the wool over his eyes. We can pull the wool over our spouse's eyes and our kids and a neighbor and people at church and all those kind of things. But God knows exactly when you've given up. God knows exactly when you've given in. God knows exactly when you've given out. When you let it down. He knows. He said, I'm not going to do that. You try to make it. Well, I just couldn't. I had this extenuating circumstances. Milk in the refrigerator. What? I have milk in the refrigerator. I can't do this. What does that have to do with anything? I don't know, but when you try to make excuses, one excuse is as good as another. We just make up excuses sometimes. We can't do this because I got milk in the refrigerator. Now watch. Secondly, sins that cause us to move out from under the blessing. When we make our own choice away from the Lord, there are sins that cause us to move out from under the blessings and leaves us vulnerable to the curses of the world. Trusting anyone or anything to provide and protect and lead and guide us more other than the Lord, his word, and his word, we're going to be in trouble. Look at verse 15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of thy hands, craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, that was last week. Amen. Says, you want you to agree with this. Number three, how to stop the blessings? You want to stop the blessings? Refuse to obey God's ordained authority. Well, okay, I do this. Well, listen, I'll obey my boss. Watch this. Verse 16. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. In other words, watch. Even as adults, if you're an adult, and I know adults who do this. Well, Mom, you're just old and out of touch, and you just don't understand anymore. And I'm sorry, this is just stupid. I don't want to listen to what you have to say. That's dishonoring your mother. Now, you may not agree with her. Children obey, but we're still supposed to honor. You say, well, that's kind of nitpicky. Yep. Do you realize that could be part of it that's holding back the blessing of God? How about you, if you go back to, I think it's in James, where you're supposed to have a good relationship with your spouse so that your prayers be not hindered. Your relationship with your spouse may be stopping the blessings. Yeah, but you just don't know who I'm married to. Yes, he does. And the fact is, you said I do. I doubt if anybody had a shotgun behind you and stuck in your ribs to make you say I do. And by the way, parents, if you got somebody and that's the way you force them to get married, that's a very stupid and unloving thing to do to your kids, to force them to get married to somebody that they're not doing so with their heart. You're going to spend a long life together. It's a stupid thing to do. Honor thy mother and father. Obey. That teaches us how to obey authority. To not to do that, we think, well, that's no big deal. God says enough. It's a big enough deal that you'll be cursed if you don't. Number four, how to lose the blessings? Look for ways to get in the upper hand against others around you. Look at verse 17. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, amen. You know what it means to change the boundary line. Oh, I just moved it through a few inches. Yep, you just lost the blessings of God, or at least some of them. You're not going to have the hand of God blessing you just like that. You're cheating, you're lying, you're stealing. Well, it's only a couple inches. Doesn't matter. No one can enter heaven that defileth. Defile sounds like a nasty word, but I tell you what. You want some? No, you don't want some. You know why? I just defiled it. Now, it doesn't hurt me because I got all my own defilement. But you don't want my defilement. And you can't watch it. Well, you could, the water's gone, so you're going to figure it out. But if you hadn't known, full glass, and you didn't know, you would just say, "Well, it's probably okay." We just shrug off sin like it is nothing, and then we just expect God just to happily bless us. We say, "Well, I don't do this, and I don't do this." And Brother Nathan was talking about that in Sunday school. Well, compared to this guy, I'm a saint. Maybe compared to him, but not compared to God. For all sin comes short of the glory of God. Watch this. It's a sin to take advantage of the blind spots and the weaknesses of others. Verse 18. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, amen. You're going to think this is stupid, but I'm going to tell you, just as it says, we learn how to follow authority by following our mom and our dad. I think the same principle lies here. Have you ever seen some kids in school where somebody asks a question, and just to be a smart aleck, they give them the wrong answer on purpose, and they go off on some kind of wild goose chase to find what they need, and they all laugh because we just sent them down the wrong road. God, I don't think Jesus would have done that. I really don't think Jesus would have done that. Well, why? Because he's God. You say, well, it's just, I was just having fun with him. You go ahead and have fun with him. I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to do that for no other reason. I want to stay in the good graces of God. You may think that's really crazy, but I'll tell you what, I don't have people coming back and saying, you lied to me. Okay, look at it from the fleshly side, even though it's scriptural. A good name is rather be chosen than the great riches. I would rather them say that Sterling always tells them the truth, Sterling wouldn't tell me wrong, and I could trust Sterling, than to have a good laugh at them, you know, on their expense. But not only do I keep a good name, but you know what? That's one of the ways God blesses. All my life, there's been times when people say, oh, you're Sterling Walsh's son. I'm a junior. You're Sterling Walsh's son. And I've gotten special privilege simply because I was Sterling Walsh's son. You know why? Because Sterling Walsh was known to be honest, had integrity, worked hard, and would never lead somebody astray. Well, that's no fun. It's a whole lot of fun. It's a whole lot of fun when you're trying to buy a house and you got integrity. It's a whole lot of fun when trying to get a job and they realize where you came from. It's a whole lot of fun when somebody's going to get a promotion and then they'd rather hire somebody that maybe can't do the job as well, but I know that they're honest and they're going to give me a hard day's work. They're going to work hard and do a job. We kind of talked about these last week. This is new from last week now. How to lose the blessings? Satisfy your sexual desires any way you want. Whatever is available to you. Don't bother to stay sexually pure and clean. Look at verse 20. cursed. Now remember, curse is not God zapping a voodoo curse on you. Yes! Ah! You know, that's not it. He simply is lifting the blessing, and you're stuck to the disposal of the curse of this world. That's right. He's our high tower, our fortress, our shield, our strength. That's who he is, if he's your God. Otherwise, you're like the rest of the world. You're out here, you know, at the mercy. Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but in his law doth he meditate day and night. But he delighteth in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree, planted by rivers of water, brings forth fruit in his season. Leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. Verse 20. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt, and all the people shall say. So two consenting adults do not righteousness make. Does it make any difference? Because we're both consenting adults. So you're both consenting to the sin. So you're both now under the curses. That's all you're saying. Because just because they were in on it doesn't mean it was. Listen, watch this. When David had his fling with Bathsheba, be honest with you, he brought her. It doesn't say she came kicking and screaming. Her husband was out on the battlefield. I think she was lonely. And I think she said, wow, the king thinks I'm pretty. And I think she got flattered. And I think she was in on the sin. In fact, in Psalm 51, David says, against thee and thee only, Lord, have I sinned. So he sinned against her. Well, you could say that, I guess, if you want, but I think they were in cahoots. But God says, no. But we're consenting adults. It's okay. No, it's not. Well, I feel like a woman. You're not. And it's not okay. Well, what does God know? He knows what he made you. You see what I'm saying? We just say, well, you ought to just, it doesn't matter. As long as they're consenting, they're adults, they get to make their own choices. No, we don't. Not if you want to stay underneath the blessings on a spout where the blessings come out. He said, verse 21, cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, that's weird. And that doesn't mean we can have a consensual relationship with anyone else we want. This means that these people are off the prospect list. You need to keep your hands off them. Well, then who is it? Who is it? Your spouse. And not until they are your spouse. But we're consenting adults. That's what the world says. And that's why the world is living under the curse. Is that what we want? Let me give you number six. How do we lose the blessings? Watch this. Hurting others or doing damage to them, even if no one sees you. Verse 24. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, amen. Listen, causing harm to others is wrong whether anyone sees you or not. You ever been, well, you got way over there now, didn't you? Picked on my son. He went way over there. Dave's a good spot, a good sport. You ever seen these kids who kind of, you know? You say, well, that's just funny. And to a certain point, it's a joke. But you get that out of hand. You've seen people, they do things, and they say, well, no one's going to know. There are people who do things on the sly at work. So that, you know, they kind of shuffle some papers so that that person on that desk can't get done before they get done. And they get to the boss with the answer before the other person does. And they think that's wise business. You know what I'm talking about. God says, I see. And he says, in the long, you say, well, maybe they got ahead. Maybe they did. But the Bible says he lets them get high because when they come down with a crash. The old, I know it's not in the Bible, but the bigger they are, the harder they fall. The principle's there. I'm going to let them rise up. Why do all those nations rise up and take over Israel? He used them to reprimand Israel, and then he took them out too. He took out the ones who took out Israel. You're not getting away with it. No one's getting away with it. You're just getting out from underneath the blessings. Verse 25, cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, amen. I'll give you a quarter if you trip that kid when he comes down the hallway. You know what I'm saying? I'll give you a quarter, trip him. Why? What is that about? You see kids just being, he says, you're walking out from underneath the blessing. Pay somebody else to do your dirty work. And accepting the money to do the dirty work. We say, well, I didn't do it. I paid him to do it. He did it. Well, you're still guilty. We cannot pick and choose which laws to obey and determine which laws count and which ones do not. Look at verse 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, amen. You know what it means is? Anybody who says, we don't need to follow these rules. Boom. You just stuck yourself underneath the cursing. All these things, Lord, they're silly. Well, does the Bible say it? Well, I see what it says there, but that's just silly. A lot of folks have a beef with the Bible. That's where they have their beef. I got a phone call this week from a reporter from the York Dispatch. And he called me up and he said, I'm just curious, why are you having David Barton to speak at your church next week? And I said, why not? Well, he has said some very hurtful and hateful things about the LGBTQ community. Well, first of all, I know David. He would never do anything hurtful or hateful. I said, well, he does believe the Bible. Well, that's right. He said Romans 1, apparently somehow he thinks that says that they get a just recompense of reward for their homosexuality, and that maybe the reason they can't find a cure for HIV is because God hasn't lifted the curse off of them yet. I said, well, you explained it pretty well. I said, we don't hate them. In fact, God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. We're not going to hate them, but we just got to deal with it. And he said, well, why would you have him come to your church? I said, because he believes the Bible. And we do too. And I said, let me ask you a question. What do you think Romans 1 says? Well, I haven't read it recently. Well, I said, you ought to. Read it. In fact, to tell you the truth, in other translations, I'm not endorsing other translations, but the King James people were trying to be as tactful as possible the way they said it. Back, to be honest with you, the other translations, even the more worldly translations will say, they'll actually say homosexuality. They actually use that term. It says it's wrong. Well, if it's two consenting adults. It doesn't matter if it's two consenting adults. It goes against God's law. God's design, God's creation. I said, look, I said, you're not upset with me, you're upset with the Bible. In fact, I said, I'll tell you the truth, I would like to see you come on Tuesday night. I really would. I really want to meet you. And we chatted a little bit, and he finally said, I think you're sincere. I think your invitation is sincere. Well, I appreciate that. I said, it is. I want you to know truth. I said, you're going by what all the world has said for the last 5, 10 years. And said, you don't, and you, and you're, and then you're criticizing the Bible, you haven't even read it yet. God chooses which laws count and which ones not. Just to make it clear, they all count. They all count. 1 John 3 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth against the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whosoever there abideth in him, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. In other words, it's not your normal day-to-day part of your life. We all slip. We're all imperfect. I understand that. But his goal is not to sin. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteousness is righteous. He says, don't be fooled. If a person lives in righteousness, then apparently he's righteous. I mean, he really is living in righteousness. And says that he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. You're a new creation in Christ. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Now, it simply means, doesn't mean you're totally sinless. It means that you just can't live that way. I mean, I'm not saying you don't slip up and get the best of you once in a while, and but not walking as close to him as we should be. But you just can't stand to live that way. If you can stand to live in sin, and it's just no problem, it doesn't work on you. It's not like having your mom giving you, son, you shouldn't do this and do this. The Word of God is our kinswoman, the Bible says. You got the Holy Spirit, and they're saying, no. If you can live in sin and it doesn't bother you, you're not his. Because if you're living in sin and you're saved, the Holy Spirit's going to bother you. He's going to bother you. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. In other words, he's born of God. He's a new person in there, new creation. He cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest. It's how we know that they're really saved or not. And the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not, he that doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Don't tell me you're saved. If you can tell it all you want, you can tell me a time when you prayed a prayer. But if it has not done something different in your life and you're still basically living in the same old sin, I'm not saying we're perfect, but you're still your life has not changed, you're deceiving yourself and you're still in your sin. That's what that's saying. Well, I'm just trying so hard to live right. Why are you doing that? Let the Holy Spirit live out through you. Yield to the power of God. All things being normal, if you're saved, you're going to live like it. At least you're going to see some growth. Now I know there's some people whose habits were started when they were a kid, and they're kind of working here in their righteous actions, and some of them their habits was way back here. But the fact is, this person has grown in Christ, and he may only still be here, but there's growth. You've got this guy here. This is where he was taught. This is where he was brought up. But he never got saved. I'll tell you what, that guy here, he's going to eventually pass him in his spiritual walk. Because this man is just doing what he was taught. Way too many people in America think I'm saved because they were taught to be honest. They were taught not to say certain words. They were taught to be courteous. Although, that's fine and dandy, but it's just a habit. You ought to, listen, we don't need the laws if we have God's love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. Second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two law hang all the law and the prophets. In fact, he said, we don't need all those law anymore once we have the law of love and grace. James 9:2 says, but if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin. And are convinced of the law as, or convicted of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. If you say, well, this person, my friend, I'm going to treat them well. This person, I don't care about them. We can do whatever we want to them. That's sin. It's sin. And you know what? These are the things, many little things that may actually keep the blessing If I'm being honest. Well, I'm going to go to the next guy. I don't want you to compare yourself to the next guy. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Listen, there are people in some third world nation who have just about nothing. But they got a little bit more nothing than the neighbor next door, and they think they're doing great. You've seen it. Some guy, he only drinks on three nights a week. Now his buddy, he drinks and gets drunk at least five nights a week. So you know, I'm doing pretty good. You know what I'm saying? That's how we look at it. I only have 4 points on my license for DUIs. He lost his license. You know what? I have never gotten any points on my license for a DUI. And I'm not going to ask for hands. Who else will like that? Is it? It's never happened. Why? Because I don't drink that stuff. Now, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm just simply saying, I know of what I mean. I have no business to being blessed the way I've been blessed in my life. Except for the fact that I want to stick with Him. I don't want the mess the world's going to give me. Now, my last point here is this. We can do this. For the last few months, we've been talking about all the things we talked about in chapter 28. We talked about, well, here's all the curses. And here's all the blessings. And we do this, we're going to be blessed. We do these things, we're going to be cursed. And this is just the way it is. And when it came down to all this, going through this, we come to chapter 30. And I want you to go to chapter 30 real quick and we're going to finish. Deuteronomy 30, verse number 1. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither thou, the Lord thy God, hath driven thee. And shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice, according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, and all thine heart, with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, and have compassion on thee, and return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. And what's he saying? God says, here's the law. We're about ready to go in the promised land. Now, what we don't see till hindsight, God's already seeing. He says, now you're going to go over there and tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to bless you. Because I told you would. I would. But then you're going to get all enjoying the blessings, and you're going to forget God. And you're going to start doing as you please. And you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and little by little, little by little, by little, going to be put underneath the curse. And I'm going to warn you, and you're going to see the curse coming. And eventually, what he's saying, it's going to get so bad that I'm going to take all your people and I'm going to scatter them to the winds. And he did. There's 10 tribes of the north, and then, of course, then the Judah and Benjamin were taken to Babylon. But a lot of times, they just scattered them to all the world, lost in the midst of all the world. He said, now when you're out there in the world and some of you are going to be prisoners and some of you are going to be slaves and you're not going to be away from the homeland and you're going to be sitting there, you're going to be sitting in your, you know, in your house and you're going to think, I remember when we had our freedom. I remember when we could go outside the house and kids could play and nobody was going to steal them. I remember when we owned our own land. We weren't living on a foreign land. The government didn't own our land. The government wasn't giving out our food. We had a free enterprise system. And we worked hard. We could make something of ourselves. I remember that. I remember when you didn't have to lock the doors. You could leave and go on vacation. You wouldn't have to lock the doors. It would still be just fine. Because the neighbors wouldn't steal your blind. They'd be protecting your stuff. I remember. And he says, when you're going to get to the point here, he said, you've all been through it. We have. We've all been through the ups and the downs. He says, now I want you to consider something here. It doesn't have to stay this way. Thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God and shalt obey his voice. See, it says, it comes to pass when these things are come upon thee, the blessing, the curse, when you have been through the process, which, by the way, you didn't have to go through. But when you've been through the process, and I've set before thee, and you call to mind among the other nations, you're out there, and you're thinking about all you're missing. When you're sitting out there in the world, in its wilderness, away from the spout where the blessings come out, and you decide you don't want to live like that anymore, then just start doing what you were supposed to have been doing all along. And shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, all with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity. And I'll have compassion upon thee, and I will return and gather thee from all the other nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. I'll be honest with you. We talked about it. He said there's going to be a pestilence that of continuance. Why have we not gotten rid of COVID yet? Why? We are so sick and tired and beat down and just tired of this thing. Aren't you? But you know what? There's not one commentator, whether liberal or conservative, that's out there saying, our problem is we're wrong with God. And some of them call themselves Christian. Well, they're saying, we got a problem with Biden, and we got to get this new guy, we got Trump back in, we got to do this. That is not the answer. In fact, I'm not sure God's going to let us put him back in. Maybe he will, but I'm not sure he's going to let us put it back in the way we had it. Listen, I told you 6 years ago when Trump was put in, not that he's any great spiritual leader, but I said, I believe that he's the man for the hour, and God's going to give us an opportunity. He's going to open all kinds of windows and doors for us to do some things. But we had better get on our knees and pray to God and repent of our sins and get this nation back to him, or we're going to lose it. And we only have four years, who knows? I said probably they'll come back with a vengeance at us. Now, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. Where'd you get that? That's what the book said. It's right there in front of us. The Lord has laid it out just as clear as it can be. And we just keep going, doing the same thing we've been doing. But I even think a lot of Christians are afraid to say, well, the real problem is our nation has turned its back on God. And we will go back to him with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. I think maybe the Lord will return us from the captivity. I think he'll have compassion on us and bring us back. I think he can. Verse 4, if any of thine be driven out and out unto the outmost parts of the heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch you. You know what I'm saying? No matter how far you've gone, God can get you back. If we'll turn our face and our heart back to him with all our heart, the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecute thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. Verse 9. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of the cattle, fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. Verse 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments, his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldst say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldst say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. You know what he's saying there? I just wish we knew the secret to bring America back to where it was. I just wish somebody, somewhere, wish heaven would just tell us what we need to do. He would just take care of it to bring the blessings back to America. I just wish we knew. He says, you do know. In fact, if you read your book, you could probably, it probably could come bouncing out of your own mouth. If we get right with God, God will be blessing us. We know this. We have no excuse. There's milk in the refrigerator. I already said that, didn't I? We come up with some kind of crazy excuse why we can't do this. It's just not that hard. We can do this. But the nation is made up of people. Well, as soon as this person does, this person will then will. No! You! And if God doesn't bless anybody else, he can bless you. If God's not going to take care of anybody else, he can take care of you. And the whole world may fall apart, but he may still see you through. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, is not hidden. See, I have, watch, verse 15. I have set before thee this day life, to live as God designed, and good. In other words, to dwell in the positive, the beautiful, the best available. And, on the other hand, death, the opposite of life, destruction, loss. This continual existence in bad things and evil, destructive things in the world. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But, verse 17, if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, could do your own thing, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Now, what part of that do you not understand? What part of that does our nation not understand? You do your own thing, it will eventually be gone. This is not rocket science. You follow me with all your heart and soul and say, I will take care of you in ways you never thought possible. And he can do that because he's God. Verse 19. He said, folks, I laid this all out. Whether it's you, whether the ones who watch on live stream or wherever it is, I know I'm just a little Sterling Walsh. But God can bless us if nobody else. It says, I call to heaven and earth to record this day against you. And we said, both heaven and earth know what I've told you. It's written right there in black and white. God knows that you know. God knows that you know that he knows. Right? God knows that he knows that we know and we're not doing anything about it. I call heaven and earth to record, to record what we've done here. That I have set before you life and death. Now, folks, you are about this close to screaming for me preaching this one more time like this. You know it. You're about this close to screaming. Well, why did you do this long? Because, listen, your blood's not going to be on my hands. Heaven and earth is record. And if you don't do something about this, if you need to do something about it, you're not doing something about it, it's on your heads, folks. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Duh. Choose life. And both thou and thy seed may live. You'll make a decision for you, and it's going to be handed down to the kids. They'll reap the blessing. This, I know, sounds funny. I know we've got to get out of here. This, I know it sounds funny, but when I grew up, my dad had worked hard. He was honest. He wasn't even saved yet, but he followed the rules of God. He was taught to fear God and to do what God tells him to do the best you can. He wasn't even saved yet, but God blessed him. In fact, the Bible says the goodness of God brings man to repentance. And by the time I was 8 years old, my dad, he sold his business, and he had started out working $15 a day on his grandfather's, on his father's farm. $15 a week on his father's farm. And by the time we were, and I know there's other ways you're being blessed, but by the time I was 8 years old, he sold the business, the fuel oil business that he had bought from the money that he had saved from working for his father, 10 years. And he bought one of the nicest houses in town, started, got into real estate, and the Lord blessed him. I mean, the man was 35 years old, and he had a 40 by 80 building full of antique cars. I'm not saying that those are the things that makes you blessed. I'm not saying that. But the Lord had blessed him there. He had. And I remember even thinking as a kid, when I was growing up, I was going around other places and singing at churches and other things. I said, I'm going to be living... I'm giving my life to the Lord to serve Him all my life. And I said, this sounds strange. This is going to sound crazy. You might not agree with me on this, but I knew I wasn't ever going to make a whole lot of money. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to ask Dad for money. I just got a feeling that the Lord's going to use him to help provide for me a little bit here and there along the way so I can do what I need to do to serve the Lord. You know, he wasn't saved. And you know he did. Dad didn't know that we were in financial trouble when I was in college. I'd lost my job. He didn't know that. I hadn't wasted our money. We just lost it. It was the recession hit and so forth. It was back in 91. And my dad would send me checks every once in a while. We never told him that we were even struggling. I didn't tell him I lost my job. I didn't tell him we were going to make ends meet. But God used him. He blessed me because God blessed him. There's a lot of things my dad didn't do. I remember the first time, we were at Hershey. You all know about Hershey, antique car shows. And he was at Hershey. And we went in this guy, it was a day like today, hot, stinking hot. And we went in this guy's trailer, and the guy said, I'm going to get a drink. And he said, you want something strolling? He said, well, yeah, whatever you got. And he handed my dad a beer. I've never seen a beer in my father's hand. Never seen a beer in my father's hand. He looked at that thing and he looked at me. Now just hang on. He wasn't saved yet. He popped that thing and he took two sips. He looked at me again. He set it down. He wasn't a perfect man, but you know what he said? That boy said, I'm not going to do this. That's what he said to me. I'm not going to do this. I'm just saying the Lord blesses your family when he blesses you. He says, I call to heaven and earth to record this day against you and that have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God with all thy, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. And who is your life? The Lord is your life. If you don't choose him, then you're choosing death. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, and thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swear unto thy fathers. One last example. We're all done and we're really late. But we won't be talking about this next week. I hope the Lord will be talking to you about it, though, in your heart. Nehemiah 8. The Lord... All the people of Israel did wickedly, and God dispersed them. And the Judah and Benjamin, the southern tribes, went to Babylon. And Cyrus was telling them they could go back to build the temple. And then he went back, Nehemiah went back to build the walls. And he got the walls up, and They were there in Jerusalem. They had been out for 70 years. And they had seen what it was like. Some of them were still alive, had seen what it was like when the Lord was blessing them in Jerusalem and what it's like to be in captivity, not to have the blessings. Nehemiah 8:1, and the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive. They were hearkening diligently unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. Skip down to verse 5. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads. And they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. They had seen it when it was good, and they'd seen it when it was bad. And now God, in His grace, has brought them back to a point where they can start over. And the people said, Preacher, Preacher, please. Preacher, read the laws. Read the laws. Because in them are life. We don't want to go back to that. We don't want to ever go back to that. Give us the Word of God. They beg, give me the Word of God. And yet we've got one on every table in our room, and there it sits gathering dust. We don't know what's in it. We don't obey it. And we wonder why the curses are coming. January, February, March, April, May. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life.